Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. The following is a rebroadcast of James Mooney's interview on Normal Radio.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes. Welcome. It is Thursday, July 28th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our show today. We've got all sorts of great stuff in store for you for this hour, and following that, another hour live here on Toker Talk Radio. So thanks for being here. We're so glad you made it. Also, joining us here in the studio is our engineer, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Just chilling, having a good time, and crossing my fingers for tomorrow.
Yeah, crossing our fingers.
We're going to keep that news under wraps for just a second here. Maybe we'll talk about it a little later in the show, but tomorrow...
Dreams are coming true.
Dreams may come true tomorrow. This may be a good thing. Also joining us in the studio with his brand new camera angle, our own Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, hello. Thank you.
So, Wiz Khalifa, apparently we have possibly some light at the end of the tunnel for your political campaign?
It's a possibility. The special election is not going to actually do away with the other primary election, so there's a possibility I still may run. So
excellent. KhalifaForCongress.com. Check it out. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grafstoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie. Hey, we've got a new virtual cam here for our virtual studio. Can you see that?
That's yes, cool. I can see it. That's exactly what I look like, my head floating around on top of Astoria.
That's a beautiful thing, looking out over the Pacific Ocean. Actually, that's not too far from your view. This is a view from the Astoria Column, but you've got a great view overlooking that bridge.
Yes, thank you. I do. I'm very blessed.
Well, Carrie brings us our hemp headlines at the beginning of the show, right after our first break. So what's in the news today?
Well, today we've got a great story. I love this story because it includes Alice Huffman, someone who I adore dearly. And it's about the NAACP moving towards more of a harder stance against the war on drugs. They haven't done that before. I'll tell you all about that. Also, a study that came out this week that looked at who exactly are medical marijuana patients. The study focused on California, but I think it was some very interesting results. And we're going to talk about a clinic in Lansing that may be in a little hot water after crossing a legal line.
All right, we'll check that out in our hemp headlines right after the first break. Also coming up after the headlines, we have our Daily Toker Tunes, which we always get to at 20 after the hour. Today's Groovin' Thursday, and Ganja John's got music for us today. Who are we going to hear today, Ganja John?
We're going to hear Graydon Square.
Graydon Square. All
I
right.
think you guys are going to like it. Yeah, it's some thinking man's hip-hop.
Thinking man's hip-hop. That sounds good to me. Also coming up on today's show, it is the fourth Thursday of the month, and on our second and fourth Thursdays, we visit with Cops Say Legalized Drugs. That's our segment, and Leap speakers join us. Today, we've got James Flaming Eagle Mooney. He is a former Utah undercover narcotics detective, as well as a Seminole Tribe medicine man. So we should have some really interesting discussions about that. We got all that and more coming up on the Normal Network today. Make sure you stay tuned. Great shows coming up, including Civil Disobedience Radio, Cannabis States of America, John Doe Radio, and the Hollywood Hempress Hour. We're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Did you know there are more tokers than Texans? Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville, host of Normal Show Live. It's true, there are more adults who will consume cannabis in America this year than the population of Texas. This and thousands of other statistics and polls are part of my new book, Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts, including 19 full-color poster-sized infographics of cannabis data.
A entirely legitimate topic for debate.
If we're going to have that debate, we need the facts. But Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts isn't just some listing of statistics and tables. It's truly a big book, a huge weatherproof binder that becomes its own 12x18 presentation easel. The colorful charts are jam-packed with facts that draw interest, and the explanatory text is all rigorously researched from reputable sources. You can make the case against prohibition with the government's own numbers. You can learn more about Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts by visiting stash.normal.org/bigbook. Pre-orders are available, and shipping begins September 1st, 2011. That's stash.normal.org/bigbook.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
This week, a majority of delegates at the 102nd NAACP Annual Convention in Los Angeles voted for the resolution that recommends, quote, funding to investigate substance abuse, treatment, education, and opportunities in communities of color for a better tomorrow. Now, the president of the NAACP sent out a press release that said this, quote, today, the NAACP has taken a major step towards equality, justice, and effective law enforcement. These flawed drug policies that have been mostly enforced in African-American communities must be stopped and replaced with evidence-based practices that addresses the root cause of drug use and abuse in America. Now, this is a change from the group's former stance. We did report to you last October about the president of the California chapter of the NAACP, Alice Huffman. She came out in favor of Proposition 19, the ballot measure that would have legalized marijuana for all adults. At that time, she suffered quite a bit of backlash from the national group over her endorsement. Some black church leaders even called for her to step down over that endorsement. She wrote an inspiring editorial piece for the Huffington Post at the time, calling for an end to the racist policies of drug enforcement laws. Now, in response, the LA Times published a joint statement from religious leaders that said, quote, "When the NAACP just says legalize marijuana, we believe that it sends out the wrong message, given that over the last 30 years we have lost over 200,000 people to drug-related crimes in the African-American community. How can the church be in the business of promoting illegal drugs? If it just doesn't fit into the proper role of the faith community or an organization that came out of the black church," unquote. She was publicly denounced, and many churches withdrew their financial support of the California chapter of the NAACP. Reverend Anthony Evans, the president of the National Black Church Initiative, went on to say this about his 34,000 black church-backed groups, that they no longer believed that the nation's oldest civil rights organization represented the best interests of the black family any longer over their endorsement of legal cannabis. But this week, with all that behind her, Alice Huffman spoke to a standing room only crowd and delivered a speech that included the study that showed all racial groups abuse drugs in similar rates. But the numbers show that African Americans, Hispanics, and other people of color are stopped, searched, arrested, charged, convicted, and sent to prison for drug-related charges at a much, much higher rate. She called for the end of this system of drug law enforcement that keeps minorities under lock and key and in prison by exposing it and eradicating it. And one more statement I want to read to you from the conference. This one was from Robert Rocks, director of the NAACP Criminal Justice Program. He said, quote, "We know that the war on drugs has been a complete failure because in the 40 years that we've been waging this war, drug use and abuse has not gone down. The only thing we've accomplished is becoming the world's largest incarcerator, sending people with mental health and addiction issues to prison and creating a system of racial disparities that rivals Jim Crow policies of the late 1960s. Now, a full text of the resolution will be available after the National Board approves it in October.
And if you want some more information on how the war on drugs has affected minority communities, I recommend a book by Michelle Alexander called The War on Drugs, The New Jim Crow, and it really does have some amazing statistics. For example, there are more African-American men in prison today for drug charges alone than were enslaved during the 1850s. So this is, you know, acting as a way of keeping those communities down. And good for the NAACP nationally for backing up California NAACP and Alice Huffman in making the obvious connection that the war on drugs disproportionately affects minority communities. It's a shame the black church can't see this, but they make the same mistake that many people do. When they look at the effects in communities that are ravaged by drugs, they think it's the drugs that cause the problem and not the prohibition that exacerbates the problem. They attribute all the violence to the drugs, not the prohibition that makes those markets violent. So I'm hoping that somebody can get to some of these black church leaders and help to explain to them and educate them as to why legalization of marijuana is not saying you should go smoke pot. It's not saying smoking pot is a good thing. It's not saying we want all black neighborhoods to be rolling blunts. That's not at all what it's saying. It's saying that regulating this product, regulating the access to it, and acknowledging that there is a demand among responsible adults for its use is the best way of dealing with it and the best way of ending the violence and the crime that takes place in these minority neighborhoods because of the illegal drug trade. Now, I'm really happy about NAACP getting involved in this. I think there's some other mainstream groups that ought to jump aboard. How about People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA? Where's PETA on board here when we see dogs being shot in these no-knock raids over marijuana plants? Where are they screaming for an end to the war on drugs, on how it treats these animals? How about the AARP, the American Association for Retired Persons? How about them pointing out that the lack of medical marijuana access is detrimental mostly to senior citizens who could best use some of these products? Most senior citizens are taking, dozens of pills a day, and they could get so much benefit from medical use. How about the National Rifle Association? When we've got medical marijuana states where the sheriffs don't want to give out gun permits to people who are legal medical marijuana patients, or the fact that anyone who has a drug felony is prohibited from owning and using a firearm. How about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce going against the formation of small businesses here that could be involved in the marijuana trade or the hemp trade that are denied that for no good reason by our government? And finally, how about the evangelicals? How about the church leaders out there taking a look at the first page of the Bible and noticing Genesis 1:29 that God gave us all the herb-bearing seeds for us to use as meat? If that's not something you should be standing up for in defending your religious rights, then you're not really reading the right Bible, are you?
And a medical marijuana group in Lansing, Michigan, is finding themselves in legal hot water after posting an offer on their website. Your Healthy Choice Clinic has been offering a half a gram of medical marijuana in exchange for registering to vote. Now, this is just ahead of a vote for city council seats. The city council in Lansing, Michigan, recently approved capping the number of medical marijuana dispensaries within city limits and setting up a $1,000 annual application fee. But the clinic owner, Shakina Pena, said that she wasn't trying to buy votes. She told an NBC affiliate that she was just trying to fight to get the voters to the polls, since Lansing has about 4,000 to 5,000 people in the area that are patients or caregivers. She said that that is what her hope was when she put that offer out, that those 4,000 to 5,000 people come to the polls and vote for whomever they feel is in support of what they want for access. She said she is definitely encouraging her patients to support the city council members who are supporting the medical marijuana industry. But yesterday, on Wednesday, the state's attorney general, at the prodding of a state senator, we don't know which one yet, said that they were looking into whether the clinic has crossed a legal line. City Clerk Chris Swoop says that the legal line has been crossed if the clinic tied the offer to voting for or against a particular person. Even though Pena is insisting that that isn't the case, the Lansing City Clerk still has some concerns, such as the tagline on the free weed offer from their website. It says, quote, "Vote for us and we'll vote for you." No comment on what their penalties would be if they found out that they were trying to buy votes in the election, and we will be monitoring the situation.
You know, I know these people have the right intentions. The idea here is let's get, you know, patients more politically active. Let's, you know, support these candidates that support us. And those are all good things. But you can't be offering people enticements to register or enticements to vote. Think about this just for a second and put the shoe on the other foot. Let's see what would happen if the prohibitionists, and, you know, they're already in the majority as far as public opinion goes. What if the prohibitionists, with all their war chest, started offering enticements for people to vote against medical marijuana laws? You wouldn't want to see that happen. You wouldn't want people getting, you know, a free coupon or 20 bucks or whatever it might be to be enticed to vote against these things. So we can't be enticing people to vote for our issues. If people want to get involved and get involved politically here and put their votes where their mouth is, they need to do it from in here, from themselves, from their own personal volition. We can't be bribing people and buying votes if we want to have any legitimacy in the political arena.
And a study that came out this month in the Journal of Psychoactive Drugs by some UC Santa Cruz sociologists looked into just who was getting medical marijuana cards. They found that the average California medical marijuana patient is white, male, educated, and fully employed. The study looked at 1,746 medical marijuana patients from 9 different California clinics from San Diego to Ukiah. The researchers combed through every patient's standardized medical history as well as doctor information. As suspected, the most common symptoms that drive someone to seek out medical marijuana is pain, and that pain is most frequently back pain. Now, that is something that is more common in men than women. Also, insomnia and anxiety. Almost half of those in the study said that they were using marijuana as a substitute for another prescription drug. Now, interestingly, medical marijuana patients in the study were more likely to use tobacco and less likely to drink than the general population in California. Another interesting tidbit from the study, 40% reported to not using marijuana recreationally before they obtained their medical marijuana card. But the big numbers came to gender. 75% of all medical marijuana patients in the study that they found were male, and 3/5 of them were white. Compared to the overall population in California, medical marijuana patients are younger, more educated, and more often employed. The study found that women, Latinos, and Asian Americans were all underrepresented. With the numbers in front of them, the authors of the study theorized that women are less likely to sign up for medical marijuana because of the double stigma they face, specifically using an illicit drug and for violating gender-specific norms against illegal behavior in general. They also speculate that Latinos in California, with so many that are undocumented in their status, avoid contact with government agencies for fear of apprehension by law enforcement, and that that fear reduces the likelihood of Latinos accessing health care in general and medical marijuana in particular. The undersampling of Asian Americans, they think, is because of the comparatively low rate of marijuana usage in general among their population. They also made note that the cost of obtaining medical marijuana card might also skew the results of those that actually obtain one, from doctor visits and so on. So, Russ, what do you think about their findings, and better yet, what do you think about their conclusions?
Well, first of all, I always find it kind of an interesting from a sexually political perspective when they point out that so many of these medical marijuana patients are male, with the implication that, well, gee, if it's mostly men, they must be cheating. It must be abuse. Well, no. Like you say, men have more back pain. They tend to have more back pain. And also, men have this kind of cultural thing against, you know, generally going to medical care. They want to take care of themselves. And so I think a lot of men are like, you know, I'd just rather smoke a joint than, you know, see some doctor and have to get a bunch of pills and have to go to a pharmacist. But I think that may have something to do with it. Of course, our opponents will point to pain and insomnia and anxiety as being, you know, these so-called medical uses of marijuana. But they really ignore the serious amounts of pain that are suffered in America today. 26% of all adults report suffering some sort of pain that lasted longer than a day and having that go on for at least a month. That's some severe pain numbers there. As far as insomnia and anxiety, boy, we can't sell enough Ambien. We can't sell enough Zoloft and Wellbutrin and all sorts of these anxiety relief drugs and these antidepressants in this society that have a list of side effects as long as my arm, some of which even include more chance of suicide. If you're taking an antidepressant, it might make you want to commit suicide. The cure is worse than the disease here. So, yeah, the study hasn't shown me anything I haven't heard in other studies before. And I think, once again, Carrie, and you'll have to help us on this, we need to get more women token.
I'll work on it.
I think it's time for a break.
Hey, ladies, if you're out there listening to us, join us, will you? Let's get it on. I'm tired of this 2-to-1 men-to-women disparity. Let's smoke!
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break.
After we get it on.
You know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? A Reaper Man. Have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? A Reaper Man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L,
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
Pop, It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, we're going to turn things over to Ganja John, who has our Groovin' Thursday tune for the day. A little bit of hip-hop, John?
A little bit, yeah. You tell me if I'm saying this right, Russ.
Okay.
The Kardashev scale?
Kardashev sounds good to me. It looks like it's Russian, so I think...
It is Russian.
That'd probably be the right pronunciation.
Yeah, the Kardashev scale, released in August 2010, is the third studio album from Graydon Square, and this is the title track that we're going to be listening to. Nikolai Kardashev, who in 1963 started the Kardashev scale, upon examining the cosmos, he came up with the idea that some galactic civilizations would perhaps be millions or even billions of years ahead, with technology
sure.
ahead of us. And so this is the feature track, and I just, you know, Graydon Square is someone I listen to a lot, and he's probably going to piss a lot of people off, but, you know, those are the breaks. That's all I can say. Graydon Square is an atheist rapper. Check him out, GraydonSquare.com, GraydonSquare.bandcamp.com, and this is the Kardashev scale.
Yeah.
you want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid. Revolution. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer. Coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We always like speaking to our former and current law enforcement officers who've involved themselves in helping to end this stupid war on drugs. And joining us today, we have James Mooney, a former Utah narcotics detective and also a medicine man in the Seminole tribe. Mr. Mooney, welcome to the show. Oh, it looks like we've dropped the call. Let me see if I can get the call back here just a second. Mr. Mooney, are you there on the line?
I sure am.
Oh, thanks for joining us here. We appreciate you being here. I was just telling everyone that you spent over a decade in Utah State law enforcement and in the Department of Corrections, and you were involved in enforcing the drug war. What was your experience there, and what did you learn from it?
Well, if I was to talk about the experience, that could take for a week. However, to give you what I learned from it is I realized that it was probably the most detrimental work and one of the most embarrassing experiences of my entire life once I realized that I was actually contributing to the problem of our nation and not a solution to what I thought I was. And how that happened was that I had two people inside of a house that were wired and making a buy, and all of a sudden I heard this little boy cry out for his mother. And it dawned on me, I'm going to take his mother and his father away for 10 years. And when that happened, everything started to change in me, that consciousness. And since then I realized that not only was I doing something inappropriate and that was not aiding my fellow citizenship, I realized it is the most detrimental thing, policy, I believe, that this country has ever got involved with. It's horrible. It's horrible, and I feel extremely sad about all the people that I had incarcerated. It was horrible.
Well, James, and you know, I'm glad that you came to that realization. What is it that prevents so many other law enforcement officers from making the same realization you did?
Well, they're doing their job,
mm-hmm.
and they're basically doing their job. That's what they're hired for, is to enforce the laws of this land. And their fault is really with the legislators and or the public as a whole. That will not stand up for the Constitution or pass laws that are constitutionally fit. And then you have a public that are brainwashed that will not get involved and stand up for their constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost any law enforcement officer, after a period of time, realizes the unconstitutionality of the laws and drugs. And some people work within the system. I know the prosecutor that terminated the entire task force for his county, because he said every time we break down a door, it's violating the Constitution, and I will not stand for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there are people that are working within the system, but when you get out of the system, then you have nothing holding you back,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what LEAP is all about.
Right.
Law enforcement officers, because it's against prohibition. And boy, you don't have it. I mean, you get a person like myself and Peter Christ and these guys, I mean, holy mackerel. I mean, now the dedication that we had on locking people up, boy, it's the exact opposite now. We're doing everything in the world to keep people from being locked up.
Mm, that's good.
And LEAP is doing it. And they're doing it in a good way. They're doing it in a respectful way and in a mature way, and it's going to happen. I don't know if you're aware or not, but Neil Anderson, who is the leader of our of LEAP, just signed on the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to use their lobbying efforts to end the war on drugs, in the war on prohibition. Prohibition, and well, the movement is happening only because of LEAP.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're speaking with James Mooney, a former undercover narcotics officer in Utah, and also a speaker with LEAP. And you know, you mentioned the officers; they're doing their job. But on a personal level, for these officers, do you find, or did you find, that there were many of them that were conflicted about it? That internally, it just tore them up to do what they had to do, but they rationalized it as being their job to do.
No, not what they did. As a whole,
mm-hmm.
There's a few of my friends with LEAP that had that consciousness while they were law enforcement, active law enforcement officers. The major motivation for a undercover person is more of a rush. I mean, it's a rush. It's addictive,
mm-hmm.
and also it's all built on pride. Where in the academy they basically teach, you know, these are good pinches, you might say, and so it's more look at how many guys I got off the street, and we use the term bad guys because we don't really understand that every citizen of this nation we're employed by them, and so but that's blinded. So we think that anybody that smoked, I thought anybody that was selling dope to kids, I mean, I went after them like a vengeance, type of thing. And it had nothing to do with, my thoughts had nothing to do with what's the legality of this. My thing was, too, I mean, it's a rush. You know, you bust down somebody's door, and you know it's just a flipping rush. So I think it's between doing your job and knowing and feeling that you're doing a fantastic job, and the rush. That's what really motivates you.
Right. Now, in your bio, we also see you listed as the name Flaming Eagle in your in the Seminole Indian tribe, and that you'd been dedicated since age four as a medicine man in the tribe. And I'm wondering, because we do a lot of reporting on the issues involved with marijuana specifically, since we're normal, and we've reported on the issues in the African-American community and Latino communities. How has the drug war impacted Native American communities, and is there anything about Native American culture that looks at this differently than maybe we have in the mainstream?
Well, yes. The major thing is, I think it's a very important issue for everyone, every citizen of the United States, is to realize the basic principles of why the war on drugs is racial. Mm-hmm. It's cultural. And it's a process of wanting to suppress a culture. Native American religion and its culture is all based with honoring and respecting every plant as being sacred. And that includes cannabis. That includes it. And so when they outlawed cannabis, but they also outlawed peyote.
Right.
And we know unequivocally that marijuana has a medicinal factor to it. But to the Native American church, it also has a spiritual factor to it. Now, peyote is the prime medicine that we utilize in our church. Well, off of the Native American church, that's the only sacrament that we have. We have independent branches that have their belief is cannabis is their sacrament. And so I honor both of those, to be frank with you. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that realize that the marijuana has incredible medicinal factors to it, and peyote has proven by Harvard Hospital, or Harvard School of Medicine, they did a whole research, and people that take peyote on a regular, consistent basis score higher on every index of people's intellect and the emotional indexes that they're measured than the people that don't take it. So why in the living daylights is marijuana and peyote scheduled one for good disease when it actually benefits people? So the only answer is it's a racial and cultural thing that somebody tried to depress.
Absolutely. We're speaking with James Flaming Eagle Mooney, a former undercover narcotics officer from Utah and also Seminole Indian medicine man. And with respect to the peyote, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we've seen in the American judicial system how there have been a couple Supreme Court decisions, one regarding peyote, another one involving ayahuasca tea for some Brazilian Native American churches, that said, okay, even though it's Schedule One, since you have this religious use for it, we will make that exception for your churches. But they don't make that same exception for cannabis, and I kind of explain it as the problem is the God sacrament is too popular in this case. Any comments or thoughts about that hypocrisy where two of them are allowed but one is not, just because I guess white folks like me like to smoke it too?
Well, the simple fact is the ayahuasca church that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, they fought the battle, and the reason they fought it is because Jeff Brockman had the money to be able to do it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And 90%, 99% of all the prosecution of cannabis is negotiated in lower courts. And, but if they stood their ground and just said, hey, if you're found guilty, I appeal it. And you go right up the foot of that ladder and it gets to the United States Supreme Court, you're going to win. Pure and simple. And the majority of the times, I'm not an attorney, but I got to tell you, I know that when I busted somebody and they had a lot of money, we're not going to. Mainly, I was dealing with dealers. We're not going to try them at the local level. We're going to send it to the United States, the federal level, and we're not prosecuting them for utilizing marijuana or selling or distributing marijuana or whatever it is. No, we're not. We're prosecuting them on tax evasion.
Exactly.
And that way they can't. So they go to the Utah or the United States Supreme Court. They're not going to win because we've proven that they've evaded paying taxes. And so, but if they don't have the money, I prosecuted them on the state level, and then they usually plea bargain, and they don't even think about appealing it.
Mm-hmm. You know, another question that I like to ask the former law enforcement officers we talk to here in Cops Say Legalized Drugs is the relationship in policing between the police and the people they're supposed to protect and serve. And in your experience, how has the war on drugs affected that relationship between the public and the police?
It's horrible. It's horrible. Okay? Another reason, and this is the first time I've ever mentioned it, I was known in the 7 years that I worked undercover that I took down more people than all the other undercover and CIs put together in the state of Utah. So I'm working on a situation where people were flying in their material into a community that had airplane hangars like we have garages.
Mm.
Okay, I've been working on that for a long time, and my one contact, I remember we were meeting at a place, and we were ready to come down on this particular place, this community, and he gets out of his car, and I can tell he's angry, and he finally comes up to me, and he says, "It's off." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, we can't bust these people." And I said, I won't say what I exactly said. I said, "Well, why not?" And he says, "Because one of the commissioners of the county, it's their business."
Oh.
And so I said back, and I said, "So what you're telling me," and I'm not going to say who it was, "but what you're telling me, we've been knocking out this guy's competition so he could make a bigger bundle." And that's, he looked at me and said, "That's the way it is, Jim."
Wow. Yeah, the corruption is endemic. We see it all over, and it always seems to be, you know, we speak to former law enforcement officers, and it goes all the way to former presidents. You see those former presidents of Mexico and Latin American countries coming out and saying, "We need to legalize." What do we need to do to break it so that the institutions themselves can recognize that we need to legalize drugs?
Okay, you asked me a question just before we got into this, and right now, the Native American Church, Aquila Native American Church, which is the only Native American church the United States will recognize as being an earth-based healing religion that isn't practicing on a reservation.
Okay.
Because we're an earth-based healing religion, meaning that every plant is considered sacred to us, anybody that has a card of Aquila Native American Church, all they have to do, if they're stopped, they show the officer that card, and or they have a sticker on the back of their automobile above their license. The officer is placed on notice. This is a church. And if you violate his civil liberties, that person's civil liberties, that cop goes to jail, not you.
How can people get more information on the Native American Church?
You go to www.nativeamericanchurch.net.
Okay.
That's the first step. Okay? The next step, until people understand their constitutional rights, if the officer blows it and he goes ahead and violates it, first of all, he asks you, can I search your car? And you show him the card, and you say, "I want you to know that anything you find in this automobile, it belongs to the church." And if he pursues that, then he's in trouble. Okay? But what really happens, because nobody knows about this, because nobody is educated enough, So what happens is he goes ahead and gets, well, let me give you an example. Okay? I have a card holder. He was up on U.S. Foresters. Okay? And he was worshiping with his cannabis. Now, mind you, again, Aqua Native American Church, the one that I supervise, it's just peyote that all we deal with. Okay? But this person belonged to another Aqua Native American Church that happens to worship cannabis. And I want to add this one, too. Tuscalero, which is an Indian tribe, has been practicing the use of peyote or use of cannabis for thousands of years. They, okay, the name Tuscalora means hemp harvester. So that tells you another thing of how long the indigenous people of this continent have been utilizing that for their spiritual practices. So what happened with this fellow, he is worshiping with his cannabis. U.S. Forest Ranger comes up, sees it, confiscates his cannabis, which is about a pound, I think, or something, and writes him a ticket. So he knows about the laws, this young fellow, and he goes to court, and the U.S. attorneys approach him and says to him, we're not going to prosecute you on this. And this kid says, no, I want to talk to the judge. And he argues with the prosecuting attorney for 5 minutes that he wants to go and talk with the judge.
Please prosecute.
And the prosecutor finally says, you're not seeing the judge because we're not pressing charges on you.
Wow. What an amazing story. Hey, folks, check out NativeAmericanChurch.net for more information. And James Flaming Eagle Mooney is a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Find out why so many law enforcers support replacing the war on drugs with legalization and regulation. Book a LEAP speaker for your next meeting, debate, or educational event. You can contact the speakers Bureau at speakers@leap.cc or by calling 617-955-9638. James Mooney, former undercover narcotics officer from Utah, thank you so much for joining us here on Cops Say Legalize Drugs.
It was my honor. Thank you.
All right, when we come back, a little radical ranting. Let's let the science decide this debate.
For Norman, and if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161. Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical friend.
Well, before I got to join you all here as the host of Normal Show Live, I was a progressive talk radio host on XM Satellite with a show called The Russ Belville Show, and this was during the second term of the Bush administration. And one of the most frustrating issues I had to comment on dealt with embryonic stem cell research.
you know, these are the little protocells that are the blank slate from which, you know, bone, muscle, nerve, brain, all the other cells are formed in our body. And they hold amazing promise in the treatment of illness and injuries. You might remember the late Christopher Reeve fighting for stem cell research to help those who were paralyzed by spinal injury like he was. And you may also remember, is another issue that, you know, always got me when I was doing the talk show. You may remember, you know, Al Gore during that era warning the world about the inconvenient truth of global climate change. Now, regardless what you think about it, since the beginning of the industrial era, pollution that we've created has led to a global rise in average temperature. We face a man-made crisis that could threaten our existence on Earth. Now, in each of those cases, the Bush administration opposed moving forward on the research of those issues. The pressure from religious organizations led Bush to stifle all federal research on stem cells. And the pressure of energy industries led Bush to withhold and censor information on global climate change. And a majority of Americans, like myself, couldn't believe we'd be so superstitious and short-sighted as to reject the science that could help heal our bodies and our planet. So, we rejoiced when Barack Obama was elected, and early in his administration, he issued the following proclamation. This was a memo he sent out on White House stationery even. It says, quote, "Science and the scientific process must inform and guide decisions of my administration on a wide range of issues, including improvement of public health, protection of the environment, increased efficiency in the use of energy and other resources, mitigation of the threat of climate change, and protection of national security. The public must be able to trust the science and scientific process informing public policy decisions. Political officials should not suppress or alter scientific or technological findings and conclusions. If scientific and technological information is developed and used by the federal government, it should ordinarily be made available to the public," end quote. And indeed, Mr. Obama's commitment to science has been felt on most scientific issues. He overturned Bush's ban on funding stem cell research. He has strongly addressed the issues of global climate change. However, on one issue of scientific integrity, Mr. Obama has been no different than his predecessor. In fact, when it comes to marijuana policy, Mr. Obama may be worse than Mr. Bush. There are 25 million Americans who will use cannabis this year, 15 million this month, and an estimated 1.5 million Americans using medical marijuana legally under state laws in 16 states. The federal government even delivers over a half pound of marijuana every month to four Americans who still remain on a 33-year-old federal medical marijuana program. Nevertheless, as far as the Obama administration is concerned, marijuana has, quote, "no accepted medical value in the United States," end quote. They admit there are only 14 researchers approved by the federal government to study cannabis's effect on humans, and the government to date has never once surveyed or studied the federal medical marijuana patients. It's not as if we don't have plenty of science to show marijuana's medicinal effect. As far back as 1974, the government has known that THC applied to cancer cells in the lab kills them and not the surrounding healthy cells. It's the magic bullet type of cancer treatment that we've been looking for. The government itself has even patented the medicinal effects of cannabinoids. You can look it up, patent number 6630507. Despite all this and more, just this year, Obama's DEA Administrator Michelle Leonhardt, who, it should be noted, is a Bush holdover, denied yet another petition by legitimate researchers to study the medicinal effects of marijuana, saying, quote, "there are no adequate and well-controlled studies proving efficacy," end quote. There are no studies, according to Leonhardt. So then why stop research that would provide those studies? You know, the government's not even coy about the political reasons they use to justify rejecting the science of marijuana. The National Institutes on Drug Abuse told the New York Times that, quote, "our focus is primarily on the negative consequences of marijuana use. We generally do not fund research focused on the potential beneficial medical effects of marijuana," end quote. So, what exactly are those 14 approved researchers trying to learn about marijuana? It's not that science has no good news about marijuana, it's that our government doesn't want you to hear it. This isn't just an issue concerning the narrow medical uses of cannabis. Every government that has ever studied the social ramifications of marijuana prohibition has agreed that the prohibition does more harm to the user and to society than the marijuana does. Every study has recommended decriminalization and regulation, and every president since Richard Nixon, except Jimmy Carter, has ignored those recommendations. Even when real-world results show our policies to be ineffective, Mr. Obama continues to uphold the prohibition status quo. Adults and teens in the Netherlands, where adult use of cannabis is tolerated, have half the use rates of marijuana and other drugs as Americans. Dutch 15-year-olds are one-third as likely to have tried marijuana compared to Americans. Portugal, which has decriminalized all drugs since 2001, has seen dramatic declines in use, abuse, overdose, and crime. Yet, when asked this week by a doctoral student whether he'd look into a policy of decriminalization like Portugal, Mr. Obama flat refused to even consider the possibility, instead retreating into platitudes about reducing demand through treatment and prevention. Not much of a reassurance for medical marijuana patients who can't reduce demand, and not much for responsible adult users who don't need treatment and prevention. Since reduce demand is not eliminate demand, it appears Mr. Obama is content to continue to imprison those who demand drugs. Well, drugs without barcodes, that is. Our politics is infected by a terrible strain of reefer madness. Republicans who shout about states' rights, limited government, and individual responsibility seem to have no problem superseding state law, fostering a massive bureaucracy, and intruding on the individual if he smokes a joint. Democrats who shout about government surveillance, racial justice, and environmental protection seem to have no problem spying on people, locking up blacks disproportionately, and rejecting an alternative to trees and oil in order to stop an individual from smoking a joint.
Is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Then to add insult to injury, we have a president who's a constitutional law professor who reveres scientific inquiry and has personal experience on the issue who seems to have no problem perverting the Bill of Rights, rejecting science, and locking up or forcing into rehab people just like him who smoked a joint.
I'm grateful for this life, for the chance to behold your face again. When my sacred journey's over, when it all comes to an end, I'll enter the next life.
As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? Thank you.